In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Yay! There it goes. Blub, blub, down below the depths. This is Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted and fanciful looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation.
It's an effort.
It's a fun way of looking at it. And we also kind of like to dabble in the ideas of connecting people, I think, back to their original roots.
Oh, yes, we're so genealogical here. Have you ever done a research on your own family, John, to see where you came from?
You know, I can't get very far back. I get across the ocean, and it dies pretty much with the parents or the stories with no factual data.
The legends.
In Poland, you know, over by Krakow. I could take my roots back into Krakow, Poland. And those are only supposed stories. I have no documentation.
Well, I can take my family back to the jolly old days of England. And, you know, my mother's side of the family has a weird enough name to where you can get back to areas where you see the same name, but you're not sure how to connect with those names. And today we want to talk about how to connect
the dots,
the family, how to get cousins and aunts and uncles all on the same page.
You know, people want to sort of chide Christians, and you get to these parts of the Bible called the begats, you know, where
the
these
begats.
Long lists where so-and-so begat so-and-so, or so-and-so was the descendant of so-and-so, or the descendant of so-and-so.
Yes.
And people get bored, but actually, the irony is that evolution is basically one big begat.
Oh, yeah.
The whole theory of evolution shows
yes.
humans in the end of the genealogical line, the apex, the acme of evolution.
The zenith of
we go back
perfection.
To the, we go back to primitive man
Speaking.
To ape or chimp or something.
And that's right.
Back
Hairless
to segmented nematode and pond scum.
Oh, all the way back to the very beginning, and it's pretty bleak back at great-great-great-grandpa days. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because as we look at these kinds of things, there's lots of unanswered questions.
And actually, the irony is that what people want to say is they've been going back in the geologic column, and they've been making leaps and leaps of faith that certain things, fossils, remains they find in the column are actually common ancestors at one point in time to something else that's here today.
Well, here's the idea. You know, genealogical stuff kind of comes into play here. You're looking for similarities. You're looking for connections. What you're looking for in the fossil record are similar types. This is homology. If it's got, you know, a similar shape to another kind of animal, then they must be related. They must have a common ancestor. They all descended from a great-grandpa that
same
shared.
Eyes, same hair color,
yeah,
same hips.
Yeah, you got your great-grandma's eyes, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. And so they're looking back at the fossil record, and let's take a look at our favorite fossil of all time, and that is Mr. Dinosaur. Let's
Mr.
Take a look
Dinosaur
at them.
Is the popular one, and
yes,
when you look
is.
At Mr. Dinosaurs, they have, you know, a half a dozen, ten major categorizations of dinosaurs.
Right, right.
And then they assume that you go back a little farther and there's less, and you go back
a little farther.
You
got the two-legged ones, so at some point all the two-legged ones will be connected, and the four-legged ones, and you know,
and eventually you get a common ancestor.
The hips and the, right, exactly. You go back far enough and you'll see great, great, great grandpa proto dinosaur kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing, as they kind of go back every step, every cousin or so, you want to see some branching out, some kind of, okay, at this point. Two different tracks. At some point, the meat eaters kind of separated from the other two-legged ones.
Well, you'd get that like from Darwin's finches. You have the tiny beakers that died out and the big beakers that made it.
Yeah.
And you're all descendant of some other finch who had beaks.
Exactly. So
the medium beakers.
So at some point, they probably see about five or so breaks kind of historically where, okay, this group broke into these two kinds and go back further and that came from another break. And and that goes. And you imagine, listener, if you can, a tree. Go down to the trunk, and as you see going up the trunk, you see
two.
Yeah, and then those big heavy branches break off into
the two more
medium
smaller branches.
Yeah, and then the tiny ones at the top. And what we have in the fossil record is what we would call nodes, or basically mostly the dinosaurs at the tips.
You find the fruit.
You find the fruity dinosaurs.
And an example would be, let's say, the Ceropagians, the ancestor, the family of Triceratops.
Triceratops.
The horny dinosaur with the three horns.
Yeah, the three horned guys, you know, very popular. And those were the ones that were found at the very top of the Cretaceous level. That's the end of the dinosaurs.
And Stan, they found approximately, science has found 377, give or take a few, Triceratops
fossils. From those that many critters. Okay.
And now when you go back to the first branch, do you know how many pre-ancestors to those 377 they found?
Okay, well, now, assuming that it broke off into another group with the Ceratopsian dinosaurs, then I'm assuming, let's say there's two with it that are cousins. So,
we think hadrosaurs are cousins.
Oh, hadrosaurs. Okay, so let's say, if you got 500 or 600 or 700 of the ones that are at the end, add all those groups. So you go back to one that splits into them. Oh, there probably are 1,000 of those.
No.
There's not. 100?
No.
10?
Closer.
5.
Closer.
1?
Closer.
None.
There's no ancestor where they assume there's a split within a generation, within one layer or two.
It splits into several families, and you don't have any at the split.
You have none at the split.
Okay.
And then if you take that split and you want to say, if you want to go back, like, say, three prior splits, which they think might have happened to get you, like, say, T-Rex.
Okay. But there's all kinds of critters at the end of those splits. So what, at the split itself, there must be some.
No.
There's 10, 20, 50?
None. At every.
But this is an unusual example, right? I mean, this would be just.
Every major dinosaur node, T-Rex, or down to Triceratops, down to the Ceratops, whatever. No splits.
No, okay, so. All right, but if you get back to, like, down the trunk, down to, are there any down in the trunk
area? There is no trunk, Stan. The dirty little secret is all we have are nodes.
We only have nodes.
We only have buds. We have just the actual fossils of the dinosaurs. No ancestors to the dinosaurs or ancestors to those particular species.
No, but I mean, we've always been taught that, you know, the evolution is clear from the fossil record. We should be able to see the family tree. I mean, we go deep enough into the ground, we find fossils in the layers that should be where great-grandpas are.
Well, let me share with you some preeminent quotes from two fossil experts.
No, these are going to be creationists with bias. Come on.
Aren't they? This one, no,
okay.
They're not.
No? Okay. They're evolutionists.
This one is from the Paul Sereno from the University of Chicago.
Okay.
He goes on and says, early on, again, I think researchers and even maybe lay people really felt that we had more ancestors in the fossil record than we actually do.
Now, why would the public think that?
We don't have a lot of ancestors. We have a lot of twigs.
We have twigs. Okay, we don't have the big branches. We don't have the trunk. We don't have any of that.
All we got are the buds and nodes on the
end,
the twigs.
What is it with those ignorant laymen that seem to think otherwise? How could they ever have been led
to
believe?
Who duped them?
Who duped them? Okay.
I think it happened in their high school biology book, Stan.
Okay.
And Dr. Weisenhampel said this, from my reading of the fossil record of dinosaurs, he's talking specifically now of those
dinosaurs.
Says, no direct ancestors have been discovered
for
any dinosaur species. Alas, he's about ready to cry. My list of dinosaur ancestors is an empty one.
Where is great-grandpa dinosaur?
I can't find grandpa.
Oh, man.
He's missing again.
The genealogical.
He must have wandered off.
The studies.
Alzheimer's.
So, Katie didn't bar the door, and great-grandpa wandered off into traffic.
These evolutionary scientists are saying, we have no ancestors.
Not great-grandpa, not grandpa, not papa even. We just have the kids.
We have just the kids.
Just around the edges.
It's like trying to start a genealogical tree and you have no parents, no grandparents, no great-grandparents. You can't find records of anyone's existence. You are basically an orphan dinosaur.
There's no church records, no baptismal records, no marriage records, nothing of these guys.
Well, there was one great baptismal record that we called the flood.
And
we found, but everyone was found in that one.
Oh, man.
We were baptized in the flood.
I guess so. And buried. Oh, boy. So, and here's the thing now, John, we're just using dinosaurs because it's a very popular fossil record, but actually throughout the fossil record, throughout all the genealogies of the critters and the plants for that matter, we have, this is a consistent pattern in the fossil record. We see the nodes, we see the end of supposed family trees, but we do not see the branches. We don't see, we've heard the term missing links. There's missing chains.
There's missing chains. There's a whole missing tree. All we have are the tips and the leaves of the few branches, and we have nothing below. We don't have no roots. We have nothing. What's interesting, Stan, is when you go and they tried to convince us so much, and really what happens is people have to understand this. Fossils don't tell you anything. You have to interpret what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on your assumptions you bring in to what you think they represent or what might have been. And what really this all calls into question are the fundamental assumptions of the whole theory of evolution. That's why there is what is called out there, even in a secular terms, an intelligent design movement.
Mm-hmm.
Honest scientists who aren't really that spiritual or religious saying, you know what? Evolution, as we've been explaining it, really doesn't make any sense as far as the descent with modification thing that Darwin came up with.
Well, or the neo-Darwinist mutations will somehow or other add information and complexity to creatures through the millions of years, and we don't see biological mechanisms for that. And so, in essence, what you're really doing is you're just simply removing God from the picture and then trying to come up with something that remotely sounds plausible.
You know,
and that's and so you're stuck with nodes.
So when you're stuck with nodes, you need some sort of connection back to where you came from. We have a torpedo text that we believe connects us back to
where
our
we
true
came from?
Ancestry.
Oh my goodness, of the branch. And here it is from Isaiah 11. And this is a great prophecy. Please listen to these words. These shall come, then shall come forth a bud from the root of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Yeah, the connection we have to our ultimate ancestry is Jesus Christ.
That's a prediction of Jesus.
Matter of fact, Jesus in Luke chapter 4 will say that the Spirit of the Lord, he'll quote this passage.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, saying, I'm the branch, by the way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to do all these things that this branch is supposed to do.
Finally, a connection.
A connection
that we
back
can see.
To God.
Mm-hmm.
And that it comes through the person of Jesus Christ, his own son.
Amen.
And so we hope that you will use those kinds of parameters only because of the ones that give you the most sense and really, to be honest, the most value. If you're just the happenstance of causes that didn't have you in mind, you know, material causes, that means you're just a fluke of existence, and who cares?
There's the link that we need. There's the connection. There's never any more missing link between us and who we really are related to, who we were created to be in the image of.
You embrace the one ancestor, Jesus Christ, the connecting branch, and you have the entire tree. You have all of heaven. You go back to the garden. He takes you back to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
He's the branch that connects you to the very roots of the tree of life, the relationship with his Father and with himself and his Spirit.
That's great news.
And that's what we hope that you'll discover as you tune in each week, and hopefully you're finding things that will tantalize you and draw you closer to God. So tune in again for another
Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.